Parting words for a playboy, Hugh Hefner.
He had such a huge impact, really changed sexuality, how we look at things.
Relief supplies stalled in Puerto Rico.
3,000 shipping containers just sitting there. Sitting there.
Deadly granite fall at Yosemite.
Like bombs going off. It just echoes through the valley.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. Hugh Hefner, the man who built a publishing empire and became a cultural icon during the sexual revolution, has died at 91. Hefner offered up naked women in photo spreads, challenging the boundaries of censorship and sparking debate.
As far as women's rights go, he didn't really help that a lot. But he does have a legacy.
He was really forefront with women's rights. A lot of people see the opposite, but with women's rights, gays' rights, race rights.
Here's CBS's Steve Futterman.
In the 1950s, Hugh Hefner shook up America.
What I tried to do from the very beginning was to try to give sex a good name.
The first issue of Playboy was published in December 1953, featuring Marilyn Monroe. It was the start of a sexual and lifestyle revolution. And Hugh Hefner was at the forefront.
I'm Hugh Hefner, your host, and I think we're going to have a fun evening tonight, so I'm glad you got here early.
Hefner turned Playboy into a lifestyle. There was the Playboy Mansion, the Playboy Jet, the Playboy Bunnies, and always the Playboy Playmates. The magazine exploded, selling millions of copies each month, but not everyone was happy. In the 1970s, as women became more empowered, Hefner came under attack.
The role that you have selected for women is degrading to women because you choose to see women as sex objects, not as full human beings.
Playboy, of course, was more than just beautiful women. Yes, there were articles, and the magazine endorsed social change. However, Hefner said,
a lot of people buy the magazine for the articles, but it's the centerfolds they remember.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Now to Puerto Rico. CBS's David Begno has the latest on the effort to get relief supplies into the hands of hurricane victims.
Again this morning, more than 3,000 shipping containers are sitting at the port of San Juan.
In these containers, we have medicines, there's water.
Jose Ayala is vice president of Crawley Shipping Services Puerto Rico. He says the stalled supplies could help more than a half million Puerto Ricans. It's maddening to look out here and see it sitting, knowing that there are people desperate for food and water.
Yeah, it's sad and it's frustrating as well. Unless trucking companies start showing up, unfortunately, there is nothing that we can do.
There's a shortage of truck drivers to deliver the essentials.
The bus drivers that would traditionally take these foods, they're not appearing.
Most roads are still blocked by debris, and fuel is in very short supply. Lines still stretch for a half mile or more as people wait in the stifling heat for basic necessities like gas to power generators.
Well, CBS's Omar Villafranca has more on what the U.S. military's been doing.
Sailors and Marines from the USS Kearsarge were on the island the morning after Maria hit. Rear Admiral Jeffrey Hughes is in charge of the mission.
What we want to do is make sure that we can get large bulk commodities and responders and relief supplies in through those airports as well as through seaports.
Planes and helicopters are constantly coming and going from the Kearsarge, working nonstop as new supplies come in.
We are prepared to be here for as long as it takes to get the job done. It's a noble mission, and we're very happy to be here doing it.
Well, this morning on Fox TV, President Trump touted his tax overhaul plan.
It'll be the largest reduction in terms of dollars of any plan ever in the history of the country.
There stand to be winners and losers. Corporate tax rates would be slashed, tax brackets narrowed, and some deductions would vanish. CBS's Bill Rakoff.
House Speaker Paul Ryan and other GOP leaders in Congress jump behind the president's plan.
We are taking the next step to liberate Americans from our broken tax code.
But only rich Americans, according to Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
The wealthiest Americans and wealthiest corporations make out like bandits, while middle-class Americans are left holding the bag.
Schumer says the president's wish for bipartisanship rings hollow since Democrats weren't consulted on the plan before it was unveiled. Bill Rakoff, CBS News, Washington.
Asked if he'll fire his health secretary, President Trump said yesterday, we'll see.
I will look into it, and I will tell you personally, I'm not happy about it.
He's not happy about and will look into Tom Price's use of costly charter flights. CBS's Juliana Goldman says the issue goes beyond Price.
Former government officials and ethics watchdogs say the non-commercial air travel by Trump administration officials is unprecedented. Documents obtained by CBS News show the Environmental Protection Agency and its administrator, Scott Pruitt, have spent more than $58,000 in non-commercial travel costs since February. Inspectors general at the EPA, the Treasury Department, and the Department of Health and Human Services are now all looking into air travel habits.
Officials from Twitter have meetings on Capitol Hill today as part of the congressional investigations into Russian meddling in last year's election. Oklahoma Senator James Lankford says there's also evidence Russian interests have been trying to fan a more recent controversy, the NFL anthem protests.
They were taking both sides of the argument this past weekend and pushing them out from their troll farms as much as they could to try to just raise the noise level in America.
In the Fox interview today, Mr. Trump also amped up the pressure on the National Football League to do something to force players to stand for the national anthem.
The NFL's in a box. They have to do something about it. They're disrespecting, and when I say they, in a way it is they because they can stop it.
Mr. Trump insists most fans are on his side on this issue. More than 200 players sat or took a knee during the anthem last weekend. The Green Bay Packers, who host the Chicago Bears tonight, are urging fans to link arms during the anthem. Now to California's Yosemite National Park, where a chunk of granite, described as the size of an apartment building by one climber, fell off the face of the famed El Capitan.
I looked up and we saw about 200 feet of rock just sort of come off the wall and explode on the ground about 1,000 feet below. And
plenty of people saw it. One person was killed, another injured. Steve Scalise, the Louisiana congressman critically injured in a shooting at a congressional baseball practice in June, has broken his silence. He spoke to Nora O'Donnell for Sunday's 60 Minutes.
My femur was shattered. The hip and pelvis had serious damage where the bullet went through, and they did a phenomenal job of rebuilding Humpty Dumpty. I mean, there was a lot of damage inside that had to get fixed.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg is among the world's billionaires who've been moved to action by the devastation from Hurricane Maria.
Zuckerberg says they're helping Puerto Rico get back online, even with 90% of cell towers on the island out of service. He's sending a Facebook connectivity team to help give telecommunications assistance to get systems up and running. He says the company's also made a $1.5 million donation to groups like the World Food Program and added a link on his page to donate to save the children. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Well, he's not a millionaire, not yet anyway, but rookie quarterback Deshaun Watson of the NFL's Houston Texans is earning $465,000 this season. And here's what he did with his first paycheck. He donated it to three workers at Houston's NRG Stadium who suffered big losses in Hurricane Harvey. They divvy up $27,000. He says the three women work hard and never complain. And that's the CBS World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.